So this morning we are thinking about retirement as part of our God for All Seasons series. And I have some friends who have very kindly offered to join me up the front. That'd be great if you are part of the panel. So the irony is not lost on me that I am at the other end of things. And about a week ago, you voted me to start a new role. I've asked these folks to come and to share a bit of their wisdom and experience of how God has used them in retirement. And just to say kind of what we're going to be talking about this morning, we are looking, retirement can cover decades, particularly where healthcare is available, people are living longer, and I'm aware that there's kind of almost two stages to retirement. There's the earlier stage, perhaps of about 15 or 20 years, where you can be more active. Then there's the second stage, where older age is kicking in. And there are a different circumstances to contend with there, of ill health, of visiting the doctor more times than your friends in a particular week, but also of kind of the difficulty of seeing lots of bereavements. And so we thought that it would make sense to break retirement up into two mornings. So this morning we're thinking about that first stage. So good morning, guys. I've got two microphones. Well, if you use that one, then we've got two, and that might make it a bit easier. First of all, if we could just go along, and if you could say your name for those people who don't know you, and how long you've been retired for.
Okay, I'm Judy Young, and I've been retired 16 years.
Thank you. I'm Barry Young, and I've been retired 22 years. I finished early.
I'm Rosemary Challand, and I've been retired since 1996.
Ashamed to say. I'm Sue. I've been retired from my main occupation for nearly 7 years, although I did do some other work after that.
I got my own mic. That's going to be good, isn't it? I'm Pete, and I've been retired, well, fully retired, about 3 to 4 years.
Great. So, thinking about that lead up to retirement, what were some of your main worries or concerns planning for retirement, and were those your same concerns when actually you came to be retired?
Well, I'll start with this one then. I didn't really have any worries about retiring. I think sort of starting off as a civil engineer, working so many years at that, and then becoming a teacher, I mean, there was a slight concern maybe about, you know, when it comes to retirement, am I going to have enough financial income coming? But I thought, actually, at the end of the day, I was going to have more than enough anyway. So I wasn't really worried about retiring for that sense. In terms of part of your other question, have those concerns changed? In terms of retiring, only in that when you do retire, you kind of obviously hit a milestone and you become more aware, more acutely aware that things are moving on a bit. And so you kind of start wondering about maybe other concerns for other people. So that becomes a stronger thing, perhaps, in your thinking, or my thinking anyway. All right.
Yeah, I would say I wasn't really worried coming up to retirement. I felt that it was actually God's timing, that everything fitted in together, that I was coming up to the age that the NHS had designated as my standard retirement age. My mum was ill, I needed to be more available for her. Josh was moving from school to college, I needed to be a bit more available to support him with the travel. I'd been a bit ill in the year before. Everything just came together right, and it just felt it was the right timing, so that actually, I wasn't worried leading up to retirement.
Sounds like there was lots of life still happening and going on to be.
Oh yeah,
to
yeah. Be thinking, yeah. And it was the right time.
I didn't really have any worries, but the one concern I would say I had was because I taught in senior schools all my life, I was going to miss people. I was going to miss the fellowship of, one of the schools I was in, there was 90 staff. you had friendships, you had comradeship, and of course I was going to miss the buzz of teenagers, the buzz. when it came to it, of course, there weren't any worries because God has in place for me things to do and services in the church, which I'll speak about later.
Great, thank you.
No, I had no worries about retiring, although I have to confess that when I actually had the letter to submit requesting permission to retire early, I suddenly was overcome with the enormity of what I was doing. And I thought, yes, this is going to be a big, big change in my life. Those of us that go to work, you know, everything is almost set out for us. We have a time to get up. We have a journey. We've got to be somewhere on time. We have to do what we have there for. And then we come home in the evening, and then it's our time, as it were. And I was looking forward to that. But there again, I was going to have to put another structure in place to replace the structure that I was used to and had been used to for some 40 years. So that was interesting.
I didn't have any worries. I wanted to retire so that I could see what he got up to all day. He'd been retired 8 years, so I often wondered what he did all day. But I had been part of a great team in the clinic I worked in, and I thoroughly enjoyed what I did, but I was very happy. I just scraped in to being able to retire at 60. I think the next year, I think the ages started to go up. So I was quite fortunate there. But it also, 16 years, those of you who have been in the church for longer than that realize that it coincided with the opening of the new building. And so a lot of opportunities came up. And I thoroughly enjoyed some of the things that I got involved with, book club, craft club, all sorts of things. And the other thing was, of course, it's so much easier to plan and invite people around if you haven't been at work all week. Sundays is quite precious if you've been at work all day. You don't want to spend Saturday particularly getting lunch for everybody. But being retired, I was able to open our home more and be in touch with more people. Mm.
So I was going to ask, what are some of the particular joys of being retired? And that sounds like a number there. Did you want to add anything more, or did anybody else want to share? What were some of the particular joys of being retired?
Well, an early joy would have been I volunteered for the Duchess Kent Sue Ryder for 5 years. And again, I was part of a team, and I thoroughly enjoyed that, befriending and driving and just getting involved generally. And then grandchildren came along, and another part opened up, and that was good as well. But I've loved it.
The timing of my retirement was very much with the build-up to this building. And I was church treasurer, and I don't know that I could have put so much work in, and there was quite a bit of work involved, if I'd still been at work. This was a £1 million project, and okay, I was more used to £100 million, I suppose, but the timing, there was a lot to do, and I was grateful to the Lord that I could do that. With his help and have the time. Another thing we were able to do as a couple was to help out our family at Oxford. We used to go to Oxford every Wednesday afternoon to collect the boys from nursery, later on from school, take them home, look after them until mum or dad arrived home. And we couldn't have done that, obviously, if we were still working. And we were able to be involved with all sorts of other people as well, having the time.
Our neighbours.
Yes, and our neighbours too.
Yeah.
Oh, I was led by the Lord to actually start a senior citizen group here when I retired, which was Cameo, which in fact was helped by David Glidden, who was my assistant for 10 years. He coached with me. And then Ivor Bees was my assistant for the next 10 years. So I did get to be involved with people. And of course, being a teacher, if you can't organise, well, you're a failure, really. As far as that was concerned, and of course, I had exactly the same. Our grandchild, Harry, arrived, and I was able to help with his care and his early life, and that was wonderful. And thirdly, I was able to assist Graham more because he was on the eldership here and obviously needed my words of advice at times.
Yeah, I think for me, the joy of retirement is in availability and opportunity. Opportunities arise, or you hear about something and people ask, is anyone available to do this? Oh, yeah, I can do that. There's no having to go into work. Can I book this time off? You know, even just things like HBC, I could never do that while I was still working because getting leave in the school holidays is a nightmare. So just being available to do things at short notice, you know, you haven't got to plan ahead. And also, like with Josh, just being able to have more sort of quality time with Josh rather than Josh seeing me at the end of a stressful working day when I'm tired and tetchy and maybe perhaps not sometimes always at my best. You know, I can, you know, you got better relationships, I think, at home too. So,
yeah. I'm special. in terms of joy of retirement, the idea of retiring early was sort of very much planted when I started my career as an engineer because people were retiring about 55 and I thought, oh, that's a good one. You know, who wants to retire at 65 when you could go at 55? So the thought of retiring then was put into my mind. Having now retired, the joy is, as a teacher, I don't have that Sunday evening stress over the Monday morning encroachment and all that was going to come forward on the Monday and facing classes and stuff like that. And equally, weekends invariably involved some sort of planning for the week. So that all went. And that's a great joy. No more stress, no more Sunday evening stress, no Monday morning stress with the kids, and wonderful. And I do get more time to do things. So that is a joy for me.
When we were sharing beforehand, you mentioned how that sense of perhaps feeling a bit fraudulent at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. So when I retired, thank you for reminding me that, there was a sense of being a bit of a fraud. Because, as you know, when you're working, you expect to get paid. And that monthly check would come in or salary would come in and you're used to it, that's what you expect. But when you're not working and this money still comes in, you think, oh, I don't really deserve this. But Sue said, well, look, you have to think of it like, you know, you have been paying into this all your working life and now you're just starting to recoup what you've paid into it. And that's very true. So that's helped me get around that very difficult sense of being a fraud.
So you've all shared a little bit about how God has used you in different ways whilst you've been retired. It'd be interesting to hear maybe a little bit more about that, but also what helped you to maybe step into those new opportunities that God had for you.
Okay, I'll start on this one, then we go back along that way. Yeah, I think the obvious one for me was being able to take on treasuring, or the treasuring role, which became available just as I'd retired, fully retired. And not that treasuring takes up all that time. I mean, I know Barry, when he was doing it, there was an awful lot to do, what with the new building and everything, but my level of treasuring is fairly simple. I might make a lot of effort into it, but that's just me. Yeah, treasuring came up, and I felt that as I'd now stopped teaching, that I, because I can do spreadsheets, I could put my time into that and have been doing that. And other opportunities as and when they arise, really, I'm available for that, he says. Kind of warily.
Yeah, I think, so initially when I retired, I had a few years before COVID hit, and there are things like, we have a little ladies' Bible study group and so on, things like that that I couldn't have done before. Then COVID hit, and that was a bit of a strange time because as a GP, I would have been very much at work, and then suddenly I'm stuck at home and all the things I got involved in disappeared in one swipe. So, you know, you kind of think God's got things in place. Then I saw an email from Rachel Pulpit that said they were desperate for carers at Chrysalis. Sometimes you read something and you have this inner sense that, yes, this is what God wants you to do. And I spoke to Pete first and contacted him and said, you know, I may not be trained as a carer, but I think I've got some transferable skills. So I think that was one sense where that God could use me for a bit to help out during COVID with Chrysalis. And sometimes it means stepping out a little bit out of your comfort zone to do something a bit different when you're retired, but that's great. And just, taking opportunities when they arise.
Question I've forgotten by now.
How did you see God use you in your retirement? What helped?
Well, yes. I mean, I did every rota in the church fellowship. But recently, because I've had health issues during COVID and since, I've really appreciated the fellowship here. The friendship and the support and the prayer that I've had has been unbelievable. I obviously take things a little slower now, but the main thing is the support. And as Sue said, I've gone to Bible studies, I've had all sorts of book club, I must mention book club, etc. There are so many things to help you, sorry, my mind's gone blank.
That's helpful.
Yes, I think the biggest advantage of retirement is availability of time. Mm. And then it's what you do with that time. Mm. And yes, I've occupied my time since I retired. And some people might question some of the uses I put some of that time to. But it's a question of being available and being open to help out when help is needed, to be in touch with people who you know are going through a difficult time, and if there's something you can do to help, even if it's only just keeping in touch with them and offering them your support. So it's availability of time as much as anything, I think, and being willing to use that time for the Lord, as well as keeping up with your hobbies and other things.
Yeah, I'd go along with all of that. And I think a word of caution, you can get too busy in retirement. We've slowed down now, but there was a time when the first 10 years, I think, we actually had to lay aside every Thursday as a day off, which might sound a bit strange, but it was necessary for us to do that. And we're fine now, we've slowed down now. But availability, enjoying people, enjoying God's people, and just being yourself in people you love and people who love you, and finding your place and being available. And when the Lord drops a name into your head, you can make that phone call. Excuse me. You can visit, you can do the email, and you've got time to do it.
Thank you. Well, that's all I'm going to ask you. But thank you to all of you for, I'm thankful for you and the example that you set to all of us and the way in which you've approached retirement. And thank you for being willing to share so personally this morning. So thank you for coming out. Should we give them a round of applause as they attend their seats? Thank you so much. So we're going to turn to look at and see what the Bible has to say about retirement. Where does the Bible speak into our lives and how we approach being retired? So let me open up Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read from Philippians 3 verse 10 to chapter 4 verse 1. So do have that in front of you. I'm aware of the time. My aim is to be shorter than normal, just in case you're sat there wondering how long I'm going on for. But it's important that we come to God's word and see what he has to say to speak into such a significant season of life. So Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 10. I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as often as I have told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Okay, so it's happened. A retirement card has made its way to your desk at work. Somebody beloved in the office is leaving, and you have just a minute or two to come up with something witty and warm to write in their card as a send-off. What do you put? What do you write in their card? Maybe you have a go-to that now you've kind of refined over many years, but what do you put in the card? It might be one of these. Relax. Put your feet up and do as little as you can get away with. So just like being at work then. Happy retirement, boss. You're going to be missed by someone, probably. Or happy retirement. No more work, no more alarms. We'll never see you out of your pajamas again. Now, maybe that's not you. And these are light-hearted examples, but I think they reveal something of the general assumptions about what retirement looks like, about it being a time where you step back from everything and take it easy. I would love to know what the Apostle Paul would write if he received a retirement card today to write into and contribute to. What would he write? Well, from the passage that I've just read and that we're going to think briefly about, I think at the very least, he would want to convey that retirement is a significant ending, but it is not the finish line. It is a significant ending, but it is not the finish line. Now, Paul, in his letter here, he's not speaking about retirement directly. He is speaking about the whole of life, the whole of his life, being a race and not a sprint, a marathon. And the finish line doesn't come until the very end of his life. And yet for us today, so much of what is communicated to us about retirement, either implicitly or explicitly, is that you've made it. You've done it. You can put your feet up, as that card says. And I don't know what happened. Somewhere, somehow, someone has moved the finish line for us and brought it forward. to retirement age. And the thing is that this is a relatively recent thing, a recent development. Retirement, as we know it, is a relatively recent idea. Back in the Bible, there are no real examples of what we would call the retirement years. You do get one sort of example in Numbers chapter 8, where the Levitical priests are told to stop working at 50. But they're still priests. There's still the opportunity to assist. They're not giving up their priesthood. So it's not really the same thing. Then there is an example back that the Romans had, where soldiers within the army were provided a pension. But still, it's not the same thing. I think for us, it was just before the 20th century when a Prussian chancellor wanted to find a way of employing a younger workforce, kind of led by industrialization, wanting to get things moving. And so he offered the older workers the opportunity to stop working while still being paid. And then the Americas kind of picked this up, and after the two world wars, it really kind of, the popularity of the idea of having a pension and retiring came to be the norm. And so now, today, it's basically our assumption, isn't it, that you work hard for 40 years, and then having crossed the finish line, your reward is rest and recreation and leisure. And before we go on, please do hear me say that it's not wrong to enjoy those things. Barry was being very sensitive about enjoying some of those leisure activities. It's not a bad thing to enjoy leisure. But we have to be aware that all around us within our culture, it is set up as the goal. Leisure, rest, recreation is the goal of having worked for 40 years and now of your retirement. Just think about the word that we use, to retire. It comes from the French word retirer. I won't try and do the accent on that one. And it means to withdraw. The cultural narrative is not simply that we withdraw from paid work, but that retirement is about withdrawing from anything that stops you from having your time being your own. That seems to be the message that we are hearing and that's all around us. And because it is a relatively recent idea, 140 or so years, only a handful of generations of believers have had retirement as the norm. That's quite strange to think about, isn't it? That only a handful of generations have had that as the norm. And so it's a new thing for us as believers to think about discipling one another in how to retire well. And the temptation, if we think about this race idea, is that as everybody else slows down with this false finish line, is that we slow down as well. We follow the pack, we follow the crowd, and we come to a walking pace. And yet, as we read these words, thinking about people standing around at this false finish line, Paul blazes past them. He talks about pressing on, straining on. And you can imagine being a little bit unsettled if you're stood still at this kind of non-finish line and thinking, what's he doing? Why is he still running? And I think it's right that we do that as we see Paul's example and ask, is there something more? Because it is so clear from what he's saying is that there is so much more, and that's why he is pressing on. And the thing for Paul that keeps him pushing on, the thing that keeps him putting one foot in front of the other, we read is in the first five words of verse 10. I want to know Christ. You can imagine him kind of mouthing it, chanting it to himself as he's trying to kind of keep going. I want to know Christ. For Paul, the goal of every leg of the race has been about knowing Christ. And as we get on, it is be our driving purpose, as it is Paul's driving purpose for his whole life. Now, you might think, well, surely Paul by now knows Christ, if anybody knows Christ, it's the Apostle Paul. If he doesn't yet know Christ, well, then we may as well withdraw and reduce our efforts if he doesn't know Christ. But it's quite the opposite. Paul believes the gospel. He believes that God would have been justified to retire from this hopeless case. And yet he sent Christ to die and to unite himself forever to Paul. Paul knows Jesus and he wants to press on to know more of this Jesus. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. That's what he's known. As he's been running every leg of the race, Christ has taken hold of him. He has known and experienced this Jesus who has captured his heart and his life, who he's seen at work and who he still longs to know more of. And for Paul, knowing Christ is more than just self-identifying as a Christian. It's more than just wearing the racing bib that says Christian on it. Knowing Christ means following the way that Jesus went, because that is how he is going to know more of him. The goal of every leg of the race is to know Christ. We read these verses in verses 10 and 11. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Paul expands on what he means about to know Christ. And for him, it means to know the power of his resurrection in his life. And this is not just a vague power, an inner force that's at work. It is the power and presence of the Holy Spirit who is bringing the gospel of Jesus to bear on the lives of those who follow him, bringing about all that the gospel means into fruition, into his life. And it happens as we participate in his sufferings, following the path that Jesus has run, which, needless to say, is just the opposite to the narrative of aiming for hoarding our comforts and that being our goal in retirement. Not that we cannot know Christ in our comfort, but primarily it is as we follow Jesus into the way of suffering, into self-giving love for others, the service of others, in still denying sin, in facing the trials of retirement, and all the while looking to Jesus. That's what Paul is about, pressing on in the way of Jesus that he might know his power at work in his life. Retirement brings about all sorts of new opportunities to know more of Christ. And hopefully, this is a continuation of what we have seen already within our own lives. As we have worked, hopefully we have seen Christ at work in our lives. Work is hard, and so we need him. Work is also good and something that he longs to work through. And yet retirement now brings unique opportunities for knowing Christ. There are two significant ways that I just want to apply this, examples that I want to give us. The first is a way of looking at the transitions, the way we approach the transitions of retirement, and then how we use our time in retirement. So first of all, thinking about transitions. There are all sorts of natural transitions that come around this time of retirement. That could be spending more time with your spouse. I was chatting to somebody recently and heard about this couple who the husband had retired and naturally was spending a lot more time around the house during the day. And his wife one day said to him, darling, I married you for life, not for lunch. And I think it's a common experience that naturally, with not working as much, you are with one another a lot more. But this is an opportunity in that time of adjustment to decide together about how you are going to know Christ more. And if your spouse isn't a believer, it's a new season of serving your spouse with Christ's help and knowing him in it. Some other transitions, there's caring for aging parents. There's being cared for. There's that dynamic change where perhaps your kids are looking after you, looking out for you. Empty nesting. There's the changes to your finances, as Pete was talking about. There's the loss of position and status, where you've worked your way up and now you haven't got the title that you've had for a number of years. As we press in to know Christ and know contentment in his love for us and his riches of grace, these are opportunities to know more of him. And so if you're here this morning and you are retired, how are you looking to Christ in these things? Where are you pressing in prayerfully to know more of him in these transitions? And then we think about using our time. The panel were sharing how one of the big benefits of retirement is the availability and flexibility of time. And it's an opportunity to serve others in it. Our paid work has been an opportunity to know Jesus. And as part of that, I guess if we want to use this picture of a race, as you've been working, you've been running, carrying the tools of your trade or your laptop bag or the pushchair or whatever it is that you have been doing and the work you've been doing. And that has been a limitation for the ways in which you've been able to serve in other ways. And now as retirement arrives, you get to put some of those things down. Now the temptation will be to leave your hands free. But it's an opportunity to take on new ways of serving Christ. We were made to work. It's good to work. And here are opportunities to continue serving. For some, as the panel mentioned, that might be family and grandchildren. It is common to be enlisted by your family with the new availability of time that you have. And that's a good thing. I know there are folk here at Kennet Valley who would love to be able to serve the church more, but their family need them to be there to do the school pickup or to do childcare. But that is still serving Jesus in a wonderful way and a way of knowing him at work in your life. It is a great way of serving. There could be, this is a fairly catch-all title, local opportunities. There is all sorts. Some were mentioned about volunteering for charities or other sorts of work. There are chances to serve and have that attitude of service. Then there is Kennet Valley. There is serving Christ in the local church. All of those who joined us up the front have been wonderful examples of ways in which they have used their retirement to serve the church. And honestly, it is invaluable for us. Their service has been invaluable. And it has been beautiful that they've not gone the way of the world in just prioritizing leisure and freedom, but yet have sacrificed time and energy in their retirement to build up the church. That is glorious. I love seeing it. It humbles me, and I love it. And it's right that we don't take them for granted. It's perhaps easy to think that because they're retired, they kind of have an endless resource of time. But it's easy, isn't it, to over-rely on those who are retired. And that can bring, for them, it might turn serving into being a source of bitterness and resentment rather than joy and knowing Christ. And that's a challenge to all of us about how we are collectively serving Christ and not just leaving it to those who are retired. What about global mission? This is just absolutely thrilling to think about. Retirement is a profound opportunity where we have been freed up and are able to serve the global mission of Christ. There are countless stories of people who have used their retirement and their available health to go and win the nations for Jesus. And wouldn't it be just glorious to see more and more people using their retirement age, those precious years, to go and share what they have known about Christ with others and to make him known. And blazing the trail, setting the example for future generations who are coming up into retirement and wondering what to do to set that example. I just imagine what God could do with that workforce going off. And he is doing that. It would be great to see the workers increased, giving that time over to world mission. So, transition, using our time. These are some of the opportunities that we have to know Christ. And so here Paul say, let that be the goal of your retirement, to press in and to know Christ. And as we do, there is a word of advice, of warning from Paul, and that is, don't look back in verse 13. Forgetting what is behind, he says, and straining towards what is ahead. And by this, I think he means that there are two ways that looking back can stop us from running well. The first off is just to live off the old stories of what God has done. It's okay to celebrate testimony, but it's easy to just go over the old stories of what God has done, rather than thinking, what is God wanting to do now? Don't look back and just live off the old stories. And also, don't be put off by your performance in the previous leg of the race. Because there will have been things that you wanted to do, ways that you wanted to pursue Christ and did not do. Don't worry about how your family or friends might think, because all of a sudden in your retirement, you're wanting to pursue Jesus radically. I think our pride could easily make us wary of suddenly making a big change. Don't look back. Instead, look ahead to what Jesus wants for you, how you can know him and continue growing spiritually in these years of retirement. Look ahead. Run towards the finish line. Don't be distracted and look back, because the reward is yet to come. And I just want to finish by thinking about this. The reward is to one day be with Christ. Look at verse 10. As Paul says, he wants to somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul has his eyes on the prize. Not that he believes that he has to earn it, but he does not want to veer off course, because the reward is too great to risk being distracted. And retirement is a huge opportunity for distraction. The risk of distraction is very real. If we look at the world around us and the way in which they view retirement, the cultural narrative seems to say that heaven is now. Heaven is now. Your full reward and rest is yours the moment that you clock out for the last time. Now, that's it. Put your feet up. Heaven is now. And with desperation, people try and make as much of their retirement years and their good health to grasp onto some sense of heaven and full rest early. And Paul is devastated as he thinks about this. He thinks about this with tears. He draws a really stark contrast between those whose sights are set on Jesus and those whose sights are set on earthly things. He says, either you are running the race, walking the way of Jesus, or you're not. There is a fork in the road of the racetrack. It's the difference between a Christ-centered life and a self-centered life. The warning here is not to drift onto the path of self-indulgence with the rest of the crowd. He says in verses 18 to 19, "For as often as I have told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." But it's striking here, isn't it, that those who are enemies of the cross, he's not primarily describing them as people who are really opposed to the beliefs of Christianity, but those whose lives are tied up in satisfying earthly appetites. That is heavy. That is scary. And this is a warning to us. If anything could be said to be our God, whether it be our stomach or our holiday plans or our home or our golf handicap, if it's our God, it means that we are unwilling to lay it down for the sake of pursuing Christ. Let us throw it off. If those things are a hindrance to us pursuing Christ, get rid of them. Or check your heart. Help, get somebody else to help you check that we would not go that way. He talks about their glory being their shame. These people take pride in the things that evidence their lack of desire for Jesus. And let's be real, all of us will be faced in one way or another to that temptation. But listen to Paul. If we follow the path of Jesus, our reward is yet to come. And we don't have to squeeze it into these brief few years of good health. Paul has set his sight on the prize, and the prize is Christ. It's through being in Christ that Paul will get there, and being with Christ is going to be the highest joy and reward for him for all eternity. He knows that it's just a matter of short years before he is with Christ, and the barriers of sin and curse and death will be gone. And the one who has loved him, who has sustained him, who has poured out his grace and affection on him, will be with him face to face. Forever. That is wonderful. That is a precious reward, and that is worth running after. And so will you let it, for all of us, will we let it shape how we plan for retirement? Don't save like your retirement is heaven. And don't despair if your finances mean that you can't do whatever everybody else is doing with their retirement, because you're not missing out on the prize. And I think we're going to really need this over the next few years. Many developed economies are facing challenges of an aging population and the inability to provide kind of pension and social security pots. Japan, for the last 18 years, those who are over 65 and still in work, the number has increased every year for 18 years because they have an aging population. France, we know, is increasing the retirement age from 62 to 64. And so let's not be surprised. If these things are removed from us or people are having to work longer, let's not be surprised if people react like heaven is being taken from them. And let's not fall into that trap ourselves, because it isn't everything. Christ is waiting. Let us live this leg of the race with him as our reward. Because friends, he will be there at the finish line, ready to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you running for him? Do you want to know Christ? Are you running with him? Let's take a moment just to pray and to reflect. Father, time has gone on and we've heard so much this morning, and yet we long to hear your voice. The voice of our culture and the world around us is so loud, Lord, it is everywhere, that tells us just to put our feet up, that our reward is now. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, that we might hunger to know him in our retirement and to know him in eternity, and to not be distracted along the way. Help us, Lord. Our hearts are easily misled. Lord, we know our own hearts. Come by your Spirit and refresh us with a desire to know Jesus, even in our retirement, that we would have a greater expectation for all there is to know of you still. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have not withdrawn from us. You are committed to us to the very end. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.